We continue our reading of the Gospel according to Matthew today with chapter 17, verses 1 through 13. Matthew 17, verses 1 to 13. And as you turn there, I'll remind you that this passage begins with these words, "and after 6 days." And this small little phrase here, Matthew is linking the events that he's about to describe with what he just previously finished recording, namely the teaching of Jesus in chapter 16, that all his disciples, including me and you here today, all who would follow the Lord, must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. But he also, at the end of Matthew 16 and verse 28, gives assurance of the glory of the kingdom. And what a great reminder this is, that as we are on our wilderness march, that we are not marching just to death. No, we are marching a march of a ministry of victory secured by our King. And we'll see that in several ways in this passage. First of all, the text says in verse 2 that Jesus was transfigured before them. This in the Greek is the same word from which we get our word metamorphosis. There is a clear, visible change. His face shone bright as the sun, the text says. And his clothes were white as light. In other words, the glory of the Son of God, formerly veiled, the veil has been pulled down, and now it is on full display to his disciples. And verse 3 would tell us that they see him speaking with Moses and Elijah. And what we have here is the righteousness of God being manifest and being borne witness to by the law and the prophets. And we know from Luke's account that they are speaking with him of his departure that he is about to accomplish in Jerusalem. They are speaking to him of, in the Greek, his exodus. They're speaking to him about the blood that would be shed to save his people from the very wrath of God. And my friends, what a reminder this is for us, that as we walk through this life carrying our cross, that Jesus has gone before us and that he has accomplished all that is required for our redemption. We're not marching to death, but to glory, that where we might behold his face, bright shining as the sun. And Peter, as is his custom, has something to say here. He says, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here." And Mark and Luke would both add the detail that Peter was out of his mind at this moment. The great commentator Matthew Henry says, "There was in this, as with many other of Peter's sayings, a mixture of weakness and of goodwill, but this one is certainly more of zeal than discretion." And if we're honest, we all have this inclination. We all have this inclination to say, yes, I read in the law and in the prophets and in the New Testament about the necessity and indeed the sufficiency of the blood of the Messiah to save me from my sins, but I still want to know, what might I add? What might I contribute to this? And my friends, it does not belong to you to add to the work of Christ, as some other churches might say. No, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ is, as he has said, finished. It belongs to you to receive and rest upon him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us freely in the gospel. And while Peter is in the middle of such a preposterous thought, he is rebuked by the Father from heaven. And for those of you keeping track, this supposed first pope of the Catholic Church has now been rebuked by 2 out of 3 members of the Godhead inside the space of 11 verses. And God says to him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And what a comfort that is for us here today, because if we are in Christ, if we are united to him by faith, we are also beloved of our Heavenly Father. He is also well pleased with us. How do you know if you are in Christ? Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and to another they will not listen." You hear his word, and it comes to you in your heart as it is read and preached from this pulpit, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. Do you know the comfort that comes from knowing Jesus? Because he comes to his disciples in this moment of terror, and he touches them, and he says, "Arise. Have no fear." Peter says that you do not have to be with him on the Mount of Transfiguration to know that comfort and know that assurance. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that, "Christian, what you have in your lap right now is an even more sure thing. You have the prophetic word of God." Because while our experiences and our memories may lie to us and deceive us, what you have is the word of the God who cannot lie. and will fulfill all that He has promised. And one last comment I'll make before we read the passage. Jesus says something that might be perplexing in verse 9. He says to His disciples, "Tell no one of this vision until the Son of Man is raised again." And friends, I remind you that we are gathered together on the Lord's Day. We are gathered together on the first day of the week where we remember that our Savior is not dead but is risen. And so we are to tell everyone of His glory and the salvation that He affords. Well, with these thoughts in mind, let us give ear now to the holy, inerrant, and life-giving Word of God. Matthew 17, beginning in verse 1. "And after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Him. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good that we are here. If You wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for You, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise and have no fear.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, 'Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead.' And the disciples asked Him, 'Then why did the scribes say that first Elijah must come?' He answered, 'Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come.' And they did not recognize Him, but did to Him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that He was speaking to them of John the Baptist. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever.